our Simply Sisters missions teams back home from Mexico, dozens and dozens of women that came to meet Jesus during their ministry. I'm so thankful for that. So praise the Lord for that. I'm glad to see Mike and Marcia French here this morning. He spent the last couple of weeks in Russia preaching crusades and pastors' conferences and planting churches and all kinds of things, and always a pleasure to have our friends Mike and Marcia home with us as well. So we continue our series this morning. Oh, by the way, come back tonight at 6. We're just studying the book of Matthew. We're just doing a kind of a devotional study. We'll look at chapters 3 and 4 tonight. And we're just reading the chapter together and sharing some thoughts. And so come join us for worship and Sunday evenings with Matthew. So last Sunday, we talked about the king. We talked about Jesus. This morning, I want to shift gears and begin to look at the nature of his kingdom. The New Testament opens up with John the Baptist first, and then immediately followed by Jesus preaching and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And what do we mean when we talk about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God? Both those terms are talking about the same thing. Is it a place? Are we like Indiana Jones? We're searching for the lost kingdom of heaven somewhere, hoping to find a literal place? And is it that? Is it a spiritual realm that's in our heart? Is the kingdom the people of God? Is it heaven and a future age where we're going to go? Or is it heaven come down to earth and the New Jerusalem? Is that heaven? Is that what we're talking about? And all those are good questions. And in some sense, the answer may be yes, all the above. And so we'll kind of explore that over the next few weeks, perhaps. Here's what I discovered when I started studying more about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. It's multi-layered, right? So it is about heaven, and it is about earth, and it is about the present, and it is about the future. It's both here right now in this present age, and it's not yet here, at least not in the fullness of the revelation of what it's going to be one of these days. And so we talked about this last Sunday. Jesus is on the throne. He was crucified, died, buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, is seated at the right hand of God where he rules and reigns with authority and power and dominion. So he's in control. He rules from his throne. And so his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, his dominion, though, has been breaking in upon the kingdom of this world since his conception and since his birth. Jesus is reestablishing, taking control of his kingdom and of his people. So his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is established here now in us. And that means where his throne is established, that's his kingdom, right? We ask Jesus to come into our heart, be the Savior and Lord of our life. He establishes his throne, his kingdom within us. He rules and reigns in our life. It's his dominion that is here. And that means that his power is available here. His miracles and healings and all those wonderful things can happen. Those wonderful things are happening now because Jesus is on the throne of his kingdom and his kingdom is within us. But we also understand that we're living in a world where Satan sits enthroned in a lot of lives and in a lot of places. And there is still sickness and disease and death and still injustice and violence and hatred and racism. And life is still unfair and it still brings heartache and death and trouble to people. And the kingdom and the authority and influence of heaven is present here and now, pushing against and breaking in upon that kingdom of the world that's still violent and ugly and all the stuff that's going on. The day is going to come, though, when the full revelation of the kingdom of God happens, and Jesus will rule and reign not just in little ways or not just over our heart or not just over the church, but he'll rule and reign over everything, everyone, everywhere. And when that day comes, death will be gone and Satan himself will be bound and he'll be gone and sin will be gone and God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes and there'll be no more heartache and no more sorrow and no more pain and every injustice will be made right. And then what was spoken of by the prophets about the kingdom of God will come true. That in that day we'll study war no more and we'll beat our swords into plowshares. And then the lion will lay down with the lamb and a little child will lead them. And then his presence will shine everywhere in the world and his glory will cover the earth and there'll be peace. And then what John saw in the Revelation will happen. The city of God will come down from heaven, out of heaven, like a bride adorned for a husband, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and the old order of things will pass away. And that is the kingdom of heaven for sure. And he'll rule and reign forever and forever. But right now, his kingdom is in us. He establishes his kingdom and his throne and his authority and his dominion in our life. That's what he desires. So Jesus says in Luke 17, people won't say, well, here it is or there it is, pointing to the kingdom. He said, because the kingdom of God is within you. He's establishing his rulership, his authority, his dominion, his power, his presence in your life. That's what he wants. And when you think about that, it's just kind of beyond us. It's mysterious and it's too wonderful, but I'm convinced I want to be a part of that kingdom, don't you? I want his kingdom dwelling in me. Well, the more I studied and tried to find a way to explain all that, I worked Thursday and Friday, and I finally just thought, no, it's too much. There's no way to sum this up. It's too much. People are writing books about the kingdom of God, and I'm trying to give a four-minute summary of all this. And then I realized that's why Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven in parables, because it was too much. And so he just said, let me tell you a story. You want to know what the kingdom of heaven is like? Let me tell you a little story. So he wasn't trying to give the whole world, wasn't trying to give everybody everything. He was just giving us little glimpses of this. And so he talked to them in parables. Parables are just real stories that Jesus told, drawn from everyday life of the people in the first century Palestine. So a farmer went out to sow seed, and they all went, oh yeah, I get that, you know. Remember the time when he said, better for you that a millstone be hung around your neck and you cast in the sea? If you go to Capernaum today, which is right on the Sea of Galilee, you can see a millstone laying right there because it was used as an anchor part of the time. Cast it in the sea, big old stone. Anyway, so he used very practical things, told stories that everybody could go, oh, now I understand. Now I get a glimpse into this. And that's what Jesus did to help explain the kingdom. And so, who am I to try to explain something that Jesus told in stories? So what we're going to do the next few Sundays is look at the parables and see if we can get an understanding of what the kingdom is all about. In Matthew 13, if you want to turn there, he starts sharing some stories, some parables that explain to us about the kingdom, and that's where we're going to start this morning. And this first parable helps us understand how we can be part of his kingdom, how we receive the kingdom. And so that's what we're looking at. Let me say it again. The truth is there's a king, Jesus, who wants to establish his kingdom in your heart and in your life. He wants his authority, his dominion, his throne to be established in your life. And so simply put, the kingdom of heaven means the rule and authority of God. And the kingdom of God is the place where his throne is established, where he rules and reigns. And that's what he wants for our lives. And just in case you're wondering, let me just tell you, that's a really good thing. To have his kingdom and its influence and power at work in your life, because his kingdom is a kingdom like no other. His kingdom is a kingdom of light and truth and life instead of the kingdoms of darkness and deception that make up most of the kingdoms of this world. His is a kingdom of hope rather than despair, of peace rather than fear and turmoil, of confidence rather than a kingdom of shame. It's a kingdom of life rather than death. You want to be a part of the kingdom of God, and you want his kingdom and its influence in your life. King Jesus doesn't come like some kings that storm into a company with weapons drawn and at the point of a knife or an automatic weapon of some kind, they overpower you and force you to become part of something that you don't want to be a part of against your will. It's not like that, because Jesus respects you and he respects your free will. And so he brings then what he's about to tell us about his seed being sown, and the offer is there. He extends that invitation. Open your heart to him and receive what he has for you. His kingdom is so unlike everything we know about earthly kingdoms. So again, to help explain this, he starts with this story in Matthew 13. So beginning in verse 1, it says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. So Jesus has moved from Nazareth, where he grew up, to Capernaum, which is right on the Sea of Galilee. Nazareth is some miles away, kind of nestled down in the mountains. Well, he's now on the coastline of, it says, and sat by the lake. And the Sea of Galilee is actually a lake. So they refer to it by both those names. It's a great big lake. So he sat by the lake, and such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. So really ingenious. If you've been to the lake, you know this, that your voice kind of carries on the water. And you can hear people talking, and you think, man, They're sitting right out there in the boat. Do they not know we can hear what they're saying? They're talking about you on the shore and you're hearing everything because your voice carries on water. So Jesus got in the boat, came off the shore a little ways, and everybody's standing there. There's kind of mountains around them. And so he talks and his voice carries, and so the whole multitude can hear what he has to say. And so then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. And then Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. In other words, yeah, apply this. Pay attention. Listen. A lot of times Jesus would tell a story and then we were left to kind of figure out what the meaning was, what all the parts were about. This parable, though, in a few verses later, Jesus explains to us the meaning. So in verse 18, he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places, that's the guy who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he only lasts a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the person who hears the word and understands it. And he produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So Jesus kind of explains it to us. Jesus is the sower. He's the one that comes scattering these seeds, sharing the good news, the message of the kingdom. It's what he says. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom. So that's what the seed is. It's the good news of the gospel. It's the good news that God wants to bring his kingdom life to us and wants us to be a part of his kingdom and part of his family. And so Jesus comes sharing that good news, that entrance to the kingdom and all the blessings of God and the life of the kingdom that he has for us, it's all tied up in that seed that the farmer is sowing. The seed is the word of God, the message of the gospel. And that means that we need to receive it into our life, right? He's planting it seed. We have to receive that seed and allow it to grow, and he says it'll produce that crop that he's talking about. So if he's sowing and his message of the kingdom is the seed, that means that we must be the soil, right? Our life and our reception of that word is based on us, the soil. He wants us to receive the seed of the word of God, but he's not forcing it on us. He's scattering the seed so it covers everyone, every possibility. It's a good lesson for us. We go scattering that seed, and that may mean the waiter or waitress today at the restaurant, or that means your neighbor next door, or the person, your coworker, or that kid who's sitting in history class with you, or that's, you know, whatever. You're scattering seed because you just never know where the soil's going to be that's receptive to receive that seed and what it's going to accomplish, right? And so we're sowing seed. We're telling everybody we can about Jesus. We're scattering the seed. It's kind of sowing seed. Sounds like we're planting it down the ground, covering it over with dirt like we do when we're planting something out in the yard or whatever. But he was scattering the seed because I never know where I'm going to get an increase on this. And so he wanted to share it with everybody. So he's scattering the seed. So let's look at the four kinds of soil. If we're the soil, we want to make sure we're the right kind of soil to receive the seed of the Word of God. So first of all, there's the soil that falls on the beaten path. We're the beaten path. Some of that seed fell on a well-worn, a well-beaten path. Some of us have just been walked over and worn down to the point that it's become hardened. If you take the same path, walking on that same dirt every day for 2 years or whatever, it gets so worn down, it's like concrete. Somebody says, well, let's dig a hole right there. Well, you go ahead, because you're going to have a hard time getting that shovel down into that ground. You're not going to be able to turn the dirt over because it's a well-worn, a well-beaten path. It's worn down and it's hard. And some of us have had just a little bit too much life and drama, been betrayed too many times, deceived too many times. We've been victimized and hurt and wounded. We're beaten down. And then somebody comes along sowing the seeds of the good news of heaven's kingdom, and they talk about hope and life and peace and salvation and all that, and we just think, yeah, well, that's good for you, but I can't trust that. I've been wounded before. I've been deceived before. I've been taken advantage of before, even by people that were selling the same kind of thing you're selling. All right, I've been to church before, and I don't need that. And I knew something, you know, and we go all that stuff. We've been hurt and wounded. It may work for you, but it doesn't work for me. And what happens is we've hardened ourselves to it, and we're afraid to let His Word get into our heart. We're afraid to surrender to Jesus. We're afraid we might be disappointed again or betrayed again. And so we become so hardened to it that when that seed is sown, we just allow it to stay there on the hard ground, on the well-beaten path. And Jesus says what happens is the birds came and ate the seed. And then He explains, I'm really talking about the devil. He calls him the evil one. And he comes and snatches up the seed. You see, the devil wants to interfere with any possibility of you and your life being changed. He wants to rob you of hope. He wants to keep you from receiving salvation, from receiving the seed of the Word of God in your heart. He wants to distract you. He's figuring out ways right now to keep you from paying attention and hearing the Word of the Lord this morning. He wants to keep you full of doubt. He wants to keep you from entering into life. And that, you know, you're looking at Facebook right now like, oh, isn't that, look at that, it's a cat. Whatever. The devil's going to use anything to keep you from paying attention to the Word of God. And somebody just went, how did he know I was looking at a cat video? That's not right. Anyway, so what can you do? Here's what I'm suggesting this morning. Stop being afraid of opening your heart to Jesus. You've allowed that beaten path. You've been beaten down so much, you're afraid to let there even be a crack, an opening somewhere in the ground to let the seed in. I'm just saying, why not risk it this morning? Let a little bit of a crack open up. Don't be afraid to open your heart up and let Jesus in. Let the Word, let the seed of the Word of God, let it be planted in your life. Allow Him. He's got something for you. Break open that ground. Just bust it open and open your life to Jesus and let Him in. Don't be afraid to open your heart and your life to Jesus. The second soil He mentions was rocky soil. A lot of rocks in Israel. And Jesus was in Capernaum when He tells the story, and so much of the farming, there are well-watered plains, and you can go some distance from the Sea of Galilee, you can look out and you see the flat land and all the beautiful farms and stuff, but where He's talking about in Capernaum, there's mountains all around, right, and hills and stuff, and you'll drive by and think, how in the world did they terrace all that? The further north you go, the higher the mountains get, and all the way up, they're terraced farms. You can see it where they're planting and growing, and they're digging the rocks out. That's why there are rock fences everywhere. And so much of the farm that He was talking about was on the hillside surrounding the Sea of Galilee. And so they were going to farm anywhere they could. They're trying to grow crops everywhere. And so Jesus says the seed falls on some rocky soil sometimes. And He says this is what it's like. It's received with joy, but that person never allows the seed to put down roots in his or her life. They never allow the Word of God to take root and never then apply it in their life to make a difference and to produce fruit in their life. It's kind of like, well, yeah, no, I go to church. I go to Carbondale. I like the music, and I really like Wednesday night. I like the dinner, and everybody's nice to me, and that's my church. And sometimes I even like what the guy with the beard says on Sunday morning. So that's all good, and I'm glad you like what's happening, but that's not enough. It's not enough to just hang around. It's not enough just to enjoy the dinner and the fellowship and there's nice people here or whatever. That's all great, but you've got to get the Word of God into your life. You've got to let the seed of God's Word into your heart and allow the kingdom of God, His influence and dominion, to begin to grow in your life. You have to get that inside of you. You have to start to apply the Word of God. Otherwise, when trouble comes, when problems come, when you hit a rough patch, man, you get blown away. It gets yanked up and you go back to the way it used to be. You've got to apply the Word of God in order to make a difference. If it doesn't, you're in trouble. Listen, the devil has a hard time uprooting mature plants with deep roots. You ever, if you got a flower bed at home and you see some strange thing that suddenly grows up and you think, well, where in the world did that weed come from right there? And you walk over and think, well, I'll just yank that up, and you pull, and the next thing you know, you're following some kind of runner about 10 feet in there thinking, where in the world is this going, and how did the roots of this thing get wrapped around the foundation of my house? How did it happen that fast? What in the world's going on? It put down roots, and it found a way. It had a root system that your house could blow away, and that thing's still standing out there in the yard taunting you, Why? Because of the roots that it had. Listen, the devil comes by and thinks, oh, I'll yank you up because your roots don't go very, very deep. But let the roots grow. Let God's word get down in your life so when trouble comes, man, everything else can blow away and you're still going to be standing. You bend a little bit, you may look a little whopper-jawed, but you're still standing because the seed of the word of God was planted in your heart and the roots went deep enough that it kept you when all the other stuff started happening in your life. You got to get God's word, the life of the kingdom, deep down inside of you. Read it, understand it, apply it, live on it, declare this word. And as the kingdom of God is established in your life, that means his throne, his authority, his dominion, his rulership is established. And you begin to live and apply God's word. You live in obedience to the king and his kingdom. You obey that word and God's blessings are going to come. There's a fruitfulness that comes with it. You prepare the soil of your heart and you let the seed of God's word get planted deep down in your life in that good soil, and the kingdom of God will continue to expand and multiply and grow. And Jesus says it'll be like 30, 60, 100% increase in your life. The kingdom is going to thrive and expand in your life if you're living out the word of God. When we do what's right, when we obey God's word, whether we're 5 or we're 100, when we obey God's word, there's blessing that comes back. There's fruitfulness that's multiplied in our life. And so we're going to choose to obey God's word and let it prevail. Let the authority of the word of God be in your life, and it makes a difference. Then the next soil was thorny ground, he says. The next soil was covered with thorn bushes. And even though the soil was pretty good, and the seed found soil and it starts to grow, but the thorns just overgrew them and choked the life out of the plants. It's amazing what weeds and thorns can grow so much faster than the plants around them and can literally choke the life out of them. So Paula plants, and it was the one thing that made her cry when we built our house was that we came in that day and she went, have you seen the flower beds? They surround our house. We're not those people. There are too many flower beds. And she spoke prophetically that day. We're not those people. And whoo, boy. It's a killer. I know. I believed you when you said it, but what are we going to do about it? She keeps saying, let's just let grass grow. But anyway, so in the back, then she took over this one flower bed, and so we had tomatoes, and she had peppers, and I don't know, stuff planted, edible things, and then a whole big patch of strawberries that just took over. I'm happy with strawberries and green peppers, bell peppers. Good on you. Way to go there. Tomatoes, take them. No, I don't want them. Anyway, so we had strawberries out there. She'd come in every morning from walking, look, a whole other little thing of strawberries. Life is good. And then some kind of evil, demonic vine from the abyss grew up. It was like it was a Spider-Man vine because it had little sucker things on it so it could grow up the sides of the house. It was everywhere. And it was just like one day it wouldn't be there, and then the next day it'd be like 100 foot long. You go, well, look, wonder where that is. And you pull it off, and then you just keep, it's like a magician's trick, like you're pulling, you know, ribbons out of your nose or whatever. You're just pulling this vine out forever. I said, man, it's on top of the shrubs out there, and look at this. And you'd get a trash can full of this vine. So it got on top of the strawberries, and it literally choked the life out of the strawberries. I don't even know how that happened. And then it started growing its own odd mutant things on the vine. Anyway, Paula was taking pictures and her phone was telling her what it was. Whatever it was evil and it must be destroyed. But it choked out the strawberries. That's all that matters is what I'm telling you is it choked out the life of the strawberry patch. Jesus said the thorns represent two things, the worries or cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. He describes a person who receives the good news of Jesus and his kingdom, and he begins serving the Lord, and the word of God grows in your life, but then the vine comes, the worries and cares of life. You get so busy, and you're so worried about trying to be able to make it, and you got all the family, and you got to get the kids taken care of, and they've got all these things going on. You got a job, and you got a career, and you got a spouse or whatever, and you're busy with ball games and music lessons and whatever happened. I'm sure you're a wonderful coach and stuff, but whose idea was it to play games on Wednesday night and Sundays? I don't understand. Anyway, So, but you know, that's what happens. And so, well, we got the kids, and then we got to play God only knows how many hours every weekend to play in 15 different tournaments. And we got soccer, and we got dance, and we got this, and we got that. And before you know it, the life of the kingdom starts getting choked out of there. None of those things are bad. It's not bad your kids play ball. Good on you. Whatever. Man, Webster knocked it out of the park the other night. Way to go, Webster. Thank you. There's about 50 of us there at the game. It was awesome. And so anyway, great game, man. We were cheering. So anyway, so I'm all for that, but when the life of the kingdom starts getting choked out, right, and you're finally just tapping out, like, all right, you know, I'm choked out, and it's like, well, I regret losing that relationship with the Lord. I hear from people all the time, well, you know, with everything, life just started happening, we just got out of the habit, but, you know, I hope to get back. I've got people have been telling me that for 8 years. Oh, no, I'm hoping this Sunday I'm going to try to get back in there. I'm still here. What happened? The cares of this life. And it chokes out the life. It grows so fast. We didn't mean it to happen. It's just that everything overwhelmed us all of a sudden, like that vine, like those thorns. And the next thing you know, we can't breathe and it's choked us. And then he says the other thing is that you're choked by the deceitfulness of wealth. It's almost like one person struggles with the insecurity of life. I can't make it unless I'm working all the time. That means I don't have time for God or church or the kingdom or God's word. And another person is deceived by wealth into believing they don't need God. I don't need God. I don't need church. I don't need any of that because I've got money and power and prestige and I can do it my way. I don't have to worry about God's way. And Jesus says both of those attitudes will choke the kingdom out of you. It'll choke the life of God out of you. Don't be deceived. And listen, it says the deceitfulness of wealth. It doesn't mean you got to be wealthy. You can be deceived by $100 just like you can be deceived by $1 million. It just means that you started depending on something else instead of putting your dependence on the Lord, and you get deceived. If there are thorns, put on your big spiritual hallelujah word of God gloves and get out there and yank them up by the roots, and don't let anything choke the life and the kingdom of God out of you. Prepare the soil of your heart to receive the word of God. And don't let thorns cheat you out of what God has. And then the last soil represented the person who heard the word, received it, and understood it. That person heard it, received it, made room for it in their life, and then applied it to their life. They received the word and made Jesus the king of their life. They allowed him to establish his throne, his authority, his rule and dominion, his kingdom in their life. And the result is an abundant harvest, a crop of blessing. And you say, yeah, what is that crop anyway? Well, I think it could be a lot of things, right? So he says, it produces then a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. If the word of God is sown, then it's the blessings of the word of God that are multiplied in our life, right? And so what's the fruit of the Spirit? What is it that God's growing in us? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith? What is it? Paul says, the kingdom of heaven, it's not meat or drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That sounds good to me. I mean, doesn't that sound like something you'd like to have in your life? Righteousness? We learned what it was from that young lady. The power of God to make us holy and right. Hallelujah. I wrote that down, man. Whoever that was, I'd like to steal that. That was Bailey said that? I didn't know who. They all were children in front of me. I couldn't see anybody's head. It's the power of God. So what would you give to live right, to know your sins are forgiven and your guilt is gone, you've got a right standing with God? Man, that sounds wonderful. What would you give if you could have peace this morning? So worry and despair and fear would be gone and you'd have the peace of God in your heart that comes with the kingdom. What would you give if you could have joy in your life? Jesus offers those things and more, right? I mean, in fact, we just learned the memory verse this morning, right? Jesus said, he's talking about material things in Matthew 6. He's saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear and all that stuff. God's going to take care of that. But he says what? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Matthew 6:33, he's going to give all that. It comes as part of the kingdom, right? It brings increase into our life and the blessings of God in our life. Man, I like the sound of that. I want that. I need the power of God to live a holy life because, man, if I live a holy life, I'm not having to deal with all the consequences of living an unholy life. I want to be in the right place with God. I want to be in right fellowship with God. I want the peace of God. I want the joy of the Lord. How do I get into the kingdom where that comes with the kingdom? Well, what did Jesus say in that first sermon from Matthew 3 and Matthew 4? Repent, for the kingdom is near. It's a choice you're going to make. The kingdom is here. Repent. It means to turn around and go the other direction. Stop going the direction you've been going. Stop running towards hell and destruction and turn towards Jesus. Turn to Him. Call on Him. Prepare the soil of your life. Get it ready to receive the seed of God's Word. Make a place for it. Go ahead and crack through that beaten down place this morning and allow God's Word, the seed of the Word of God, to get in your life, the seed of His forgiveness and life and peace. Open your heart to Him and allow Him. He'll forgive you of your sin. Ask Him to come into your heart and establish His kingdom and His rule, His dominion in your life. And then make a daily effort to live in obedience to Jesus the King. Live as a citizen of the kingdom. And if you do that, the blessings of God come. Righteousness, peace, and joy come. I invite you today to open your heart to Jesus. Open up that heart ground. I urge you today. Don't let anything keep you from opening your life to Jesus. Go ahead. Open your heart to Him. Open up that hard ground. Get the rocks out of the way so you can put down deep roots of obedience to the Lord. Don't let the cares and the worries or the deceitfulness of riches keep you from surrendering your life to Jesus. Don't let thorns crowd Jesus out of your life. But instead, open your heart to Him. There's good things in store. There's good in the kingdom of God. You want to be part of that kingdom. It's a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. You want to know Him. And the way to do it is to open your heart and let the seed of God's Word begin to grow, take up root in your life. You'll never, ever, ever be the same. Lord Jesus, I thank You this morning that You are the sower that goes forth sowing seed, scattering that seed. And You're telling us, Lord, that if we'll just make a place for it, if we'll open our hearts to You, that seed, You'll drop it into our heart and into our life. And if we'll repent and open up our heart, You'll make the difference in us, Lord Jesus. And so that's what we do today. We're going to open our heart to You. We're going to receive from You what You have for us, Lord. There's new life for us. There's salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. All of that is available to us today. Lord, we want to be part of Your kingdom. We want what You have for us, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we ask You. We're, as best we can understand the story, as best as we can understand the parable and the steps we're to take, Lord, we repent and we open our heart to receive the seed of the message of the kingdom, the message, the gospel of peace. We open our hearts and say, come in, plant that word in me. Let it grow in me. I'll receive it. I'll live it. I'll obey it. Lord Jesus, I open my heart and life to You today. I open my heart to You, Lord. I won't let all the stuff of my past keep me beaten down to the point where I'll be resistant to that. I won't let the devil come, the evil one, and snatch up the seed that's been sown this morning. Instead, Lord, I receive it. I receive it. I receive the kingdom. I receive salvation. I receive forgiveness. I receive the life of God into my life. Jesus, come save me, redeem me, and set me free. Lord, I open my heart to You. I don't do this very often, but I felt impressed of the Lord. This is particularly with the children here and all of us together as a family. I want to invite you not only to open your heart to Jesus, I want to invite you to just say a prayer with me today. Again, I seldom ever do this, but I just want you to repeat this after me. You don't have to shout it out, but I want us to say it out loud. All of us, it'll just make it a little easier, and children, adults, everybody, but just repeat this after me. Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You died on the cross for me and that You rose again. I ask You to come into my heart. Forgive me. By Your grace, take away my sin and give me a new life. Give me that right standing so I know my sins are forgiven. Give me peace and joy. I want to live in Your kingdom. And I want You to be the king of my heart and the king of my life. I give myself to You. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me a new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, welcome to the kingdom. You opened a place for that seed to get planted in your heart and in your life. It's a start of something. Let it grow. Let it begin to grow and spread in your life. His authority, His lordship, His saving grace. He has good things, righteousness, peace, and joy for you. And those of you who have known Jesus for a long time, let me just ask you about the growth of that kingdom in your life. Because Jesus said some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So I guess my question is, what's your capacity? And are you living to your potential? Are you living up to your spiritual potential? Some may be 30-fold, but are you living up to 30-fold or 60 or to 100? Well, are you allowing the Word of God to thrive in your life, to grow and prevail in your life? Are you allowing? Jesus, here's the deal. The Bible says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And of His kingdom, right, there's no end to its increase. The prophets said it. John says it. There's no end to the increase of His kingdom. His kingdom is in you. Is it increasing? Is it an ever-increasing kingdom? Is there something being produced? Is there fruit developing? I'm thrilled that you met Jesus 75 years ago. Is the kingdom and its influence and dominion and authority increasing in your life? Is there more power of the kingdom? Are you more familiar with Him than you were when you started? Because He wants it to grow 30, 60, 100-fold. He wants increase because He wants the kingdom to thrive in us. Because when the kingdom's thriving, we're thriving. We know what it means to live in the life of God. Amen? Amen. That's a better sermon than the one I preached the last 40 minutes. Let's stand together as we wrap this up today. Would you just open your heart to Him? Tell Him, if you met Jesus this morning, would you come tell one of the pastors or tell, if you go to Kids Church, tell Pastor Brittany, but tell one of us, hey, I prayed that prayer and I asked Jesus into my heart. If you're watching online, you prayed that with us and you meant it, email us and let us know, hey, I asked Jesus into my heart today. We want to help you. We want to come alongside you because we want that hard ground to break open and we want the seed of God's Word and His kingdom to thrive in you. We want you to have an abundant harvest of the blessings of God in your life. And it happens when you apply His Word. Amen? You walk in obedience to that. Father, I thank You for Your Word that lights up our path. Thank You for the Word of God, that seed planted in us. And Lord, if we'll make space for it, You want to bring increase and blessing. You want the kingdom of God and its authority and dominion to advance and thrive and grow, not only to be established, but to grow in abundance in our lives. So Lord, I pray that there'll be an abundant blessing of God, 30, 60, 100-fold of the kingdom growing, spreading, and advancing in us. And Lord, we'll take that good news and we'll become sowers. And today we'll scatter some gospel seed to everybody we meet. We'll tell them about the economy and the blessing of the kingdom and of one who comes and wants to be king in our hearts and in our lives. May Your blessing rest upon us. May Your grace and mercy fill our lives. May the kingdom of God be advanced in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.